There's that walk-up music for Matt Olien's movie review, the first one of 2025. Matt, welcome back to Main Street. Happy New Year, bud.
Happy New Year, Craig.
This is the first review, of course, of the year, and the movie is called The Brutalist, and it follows the life of Laszlo Toth, a Jewish-Hungarian architect and Holocaust survivor who flees post-war Europe to seek a new beginning in America. Matt, what are your thoughts on how The Brutalist blends, I guess, historical reckoning with his personal journey, and do you think it successfully conveys the tension between art and commerce and immigration and all of those things?
I think this is certainly going to be, you know, Oscar nominations come out next Friday, the 17th, so this is certainly going to be right in there. It did very good at the Golden Globes. It's really long. It's 3 hours and 25 minutes, and it's maybe a little too long. I would say this is a film directed by Brady Corbett that swings for the fences. And what I mean by that, it swings for the artistic fences. It's trying to kind of be this, harken back to like 1970s auteur film director epics or Paul Thomas Anderson's The Master, which was kind of about the L. Ron Hubbard story in 2012. It feels like that. It's shot on 70mm stock film, rarely seen these days. So it really looks good. It sounds good. The music score is great. I don't know if it quite achieves the true greatness I think that it was going for. I think there's really good parts in it, but I don't know if we're going to walk out saying this is the next Citizen Kane. It's certainly an ambitious movie. It's very artistic. There's a lot of themes here about anti-Semitism, which Toth experiences when he comes to Pennsylvania, first working for his cousin, and then he becomes this architect, and he is an architect in the movie, and that's the real key to the movie is this chance meeting he has with Guy Pearce, who might win the supporting actor Oscar. Pearce plays this wealthy industrialist who kind of commissions Toth, played by Adrian Brody, to design buildings for him, you know, libraries, tributes to his mother, etc. And that is where the push-pull comes, as you know, Craig, between artistic freedom and what the man wants, what Guy Pearce wants. So Toth struggles with this. A lot of things. He struggles with a lot of things. His wife is not with him. Felicity Jones eventually shows up about halfway through the movie as his wife who's stuck in Europe, and she gives a great performance. Supporting actress nomination is coming for her. Brody's magnificent. Certainly going to be right in there for best actor. I think for me, it was like missing a couple scenes. And I said it was maybe too long, but maybe some scenes could have been replaced. I just feel like it's a lot of good things. It's a really good movie, but something is missing to make it that true American immigration, American dream story, right? Godfather 2, I think, is the best American movie ever made about the immigrant story, right? The corruption of the American dream. This is kind of aiming for a Godfather 2 type commentary on the American dream and what he experiences in terms of, you know, his successes and his struggles and the failures. I just don't know if it quite gets there. And it's hard to put your finger on because it looks so good. It sounds good. The acting is great. But in the end, I'm kind of left with also, like, what kind of architecture was he doing? They really don't get into that too much. It's hard to put the artistic genius on film. We talked about this with Bradley Cooper as Maestro, as Leonard Bernstein, or Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan. Like, how did he write these songs? It's hard to put the creative process on screen. They do a pretty good job of it, but at the end, I'm kind of like, what was his building design? What kind of European architectural design was he bringing over there? There's a lot of personal issues he goes through. So I like this movie a lot, Craig. I just think it's not quite Godfather 2. It's not quite this epic immigration story that it's aiming for, but certainly great period design. Right after World War II, he comes to Pennsylvania. It's a movie that needs to be seen, and it's still really not in theaters around here. That's a really slow rollout for the Oscars, but I expect it will be soon available to people in this area to watch.
Matt, I should tell our listeners that we chose not to play mm-hmm. the trailer for this movie today. It's really visually intense.
It is.
Musically intense. There's just not a lot of text that would offer much to our radio listener. But you talked about the visually rich style of the show. And what did you think of with the scene of the upside down Statue of Liberty? And how did those cinematic choices, I guess, enhance or detract from the film's theme and storytelling, Matt?
Well, the cinematography is one of the stars of the movie. It is shot on rarely seen 70mm stock. So it feels like you're watching kind of a Godfather, Lawrence of Arabia, something that has to do with 70 millimeter, not digital, which is now, you know, all the rage. So it looks great. And that's why I think it feels like an art house film. This is a film for cinephiles, right? To go and study the cinematography and the production design and the actors. And I don't know if the general audiences are going to flock to this. I think the running time is going to keep people away. But I predict the cinematography and the score are going to win Oscars. That's really one of the stars of the movie. Adrien Brody would be vying for the 11th man ever to win the Best Actor Oscar multiple times. I still think Chalamet is going to win the Oscar. I think when the full Academy votes, which is much more than the Golden Globes, of course, and other critics' organizations, when the full measure of people in the industry vote, I do think Chalamet is going to beat Brody for Best Actor. It's going to be a really close vote, I think, but it's going to be amazing. This feels like there's a little bit of Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead in this movie, too. If you've ever read that book, Craig, or seen the movie with Gary Cooper.
I haven't.
That's about an architect who has visions, right? And he has to compromise, and he won't compromise. It feels like it's kind of a sequel to The Fountainhead a little bit, except with anti-Semitism thrown in, which he experiences. It's also, you know, it just feels like something like that. And I like that aspect to it. So,
Matt, given that the Brutalist is centered on these grand ideas like immigration, assimilation, and the promise of the American dream, did it leave you with that energy of the American dream and of our immigration ancestry?
Yes, I think it achieves that pretty well. As I said, I think it's one or two scenes short of becoming this masterpiece that I think Brady Corbett has designs on. He might win the directing Oscar. It's very possible that he will. We might have a split. Like, I see Wicked maybe winning Best Picture and Corbett getting director. I can see that happening. But yes, this is, you know, a big part of this film is the immigration story. This Jewish architect escaping after the war, surviving the Holocaust, trying to get his wife over there. It does say a lot about the immigration story, the American dream, and the struggles to achieve the American dream. And there's one scene where he says, "They don't want us here," he says to his wife. "They don't," he means us Jews. "They don't want us here." And I think it's that old adage, too, where we see Guy Pearce will do business with a Jewish architect that he admires, okay? He'll do business with them, but he doesn't really want them there or like them. Do you know what I mean? There's part of that with the Guy Pearce character. Guy Pearce, Australian actor, he is amazing as the industrialist who kind of takes Laszlo under his wing. And it's a very tenuous relationship. You know, at first it's very like, "Oh, you're a great architect. I want you to do this for me." But there's always strings attached, right, Craig? There's strings attached. And the relationship really between Guy Pearce and Adrien Brody in this movie is fascinating to watch, kind of the yin and the yang and this gentle pull and push between the two of them, sometimes more not gentle. That's really interesting in the movie as well. So there's three great acting performances in this movie. The cinematography is amazing. The immigration story, I just don't know if it's Citizen Kane or Godfather 2, but it definitely swings for the fences.
Before we get to our Oscar trivia question, Matt, just a quick question about the intermission. Did the intermission fit here? Does it detract from the
experience?
Yeah,
it's fine if you need to get up and go to the bathroom, if you're watching it on a screener or a digital or a streaming service. I think it's going to be in theaters really soon as we're talking here, but it's a slow rollout for people to see this. I saw it because I vote for the North Dakota Film Society and I got a screener. I'd rather see it on the big screen than on a laptop, and it needs to be seen on the big screen. I want to emphasize that. If you go, this is an epic movie that needs to be seen on the big screen.
All right, Matt, let's get to our Oscar trivia question of the day. You talked about Godfather 2. Another movie that this question is about is the musical adaptation that focuses on the struggles of Puerto Rican immigrants and their interactions with New York City's established communities. What movie am I talking about, and how many Academy Awards did it win?
So the 1961 version of West Side Story is what you're talking about, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, Best Picture, Best Director for Jerome Robbins and Robert Wise, Best Supporting Actor George Chakiris, Best Supporting Actress Rita Moreno. I'm guessing the cinematography got the Oscar. Music adaptation, probably, you know, from Leonard Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim. Art direction, it probably won. I'm guessing it won sound. Editing, costumes, is that about, am I up to 10?
10 in all, Matt. That's correct.
Second most ever. Three films.
One of the great movies that I've enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Matt Olean joins us each and every Thursday as he reviews movies for us here on Prairie Public. Matt, thanks again.
You bet.
More Main Streets ahead. Stay with us.